I want to tell you about a podcast you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. As a parent myself of a child who's had an IEP since kindergarten, and he's now a 10th grader, I know how confusing, overwhelming, frustrating, sometimes daunting the whole process can be. I checked out an episode of Understood Explains called The Difference Between IEPs and 504 Plans. And what I love about it is how easily Juliana explains everything. She answers common questions that probably every parent or caregiver has. She dispels myths and is concise and to the point. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. And there's a direct link in the show notes if you need it.
I don't really know of anything else in life that works this way. Like when I think about the pile of laundry in my laundry room, it doesn't automatically fold. Right. When I think about the emails I have to write, they don't automatically compose themselves. But if you just think about your breathing, it actually soothes your nervous system. It actually slows your heart rate and has all these other incredible benefits.
You're listening to Make Some Noise Podcast, episode number 591 with guest Brett Larkin. Welcome to Make Some Noise Podcast, your guide for strategies, tools, and insight to empower yourself. I'm your host, Andrea Owen, global speaker, entrepreneur, life coach since 2007, and author of 3 books that have been translated into 18 languages and are available in 22 countries. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a lesson that will help you maximize unshakable confidence, master resilience, and make some noise in your life. You ready? Let's go. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. I am so glad that you're here. I am also so glad that next week, first week of April, we're opening up registration for Write Your Way Through It. This is a new program that I'm facilitating and guiding you on. It is a group of women, a circle of women, and we are going to journal, write, get creative, make art, and really integrate. The whole purpose of this program is for you to integrate. You listen to a lot of self-help. You probably do. If you listen to this podcast, you consume a lot of self-help. You might even read some books or listen to some audiobooks. You know, maybe you've done some workshops here and there, and it's a lot to take in. But my hope is that you get an opportunity to actually integrate the work. And that's what this is. Even if you don't consume a whole lot of personal development, you have been through some stuff. You've been through some difficult and challenging times, some transformation, and this is the chance to integrate it. I am going to equip you with not only guidance on group calls and the opportunity to share and connect with other women, but lots and lots of journaling prompts, lots and lots of questions. So you can come to the conclusions that you need to, come to the lessons, find the wisdom, and just write your way through it. That's what so much of growth is about, is not necessarily about me teaching you things and giving you advice, which can be incredibly helpful, but it's about you finding your own wisdom within you. You calling your own wisdom into your life, you calling your power, your inner voice, your inner best self, calling her forward. So that's what this is. If you head on over to AndreaOwen.com/program, that's where you'll find it. Depending on when you're listening to this, there'll either be a sign up page so you can be the first to be notified, or the info page will be there and you can register and join us. It's going to be 6 weeks. We're going to have afternoon, maybe evening calls. I cannot remember where I timed them. But my hope is that you can join us and grow and learn and be supported and loved along the way. All right. Today's guest is, speaking of inner work, Brett Larkin is amazing, and she's a yogi, which I hesitate to bring those people on because I've had a struggling relationship with yoga myself, although I know it can be life-changing. And I love her because she talks about yoga things. I'm gonna botch this, but she talks about yoga things from a practical standpoint. And that's why I really wanted to have her on. So let me tell you a little bit about her. Brett Larkin is the founder of Uplifted Yoga and the author of Yoga Life, Habits, Poses, and Breathwork to channel joy amidst the chaos. Her online yoga teacher trainings have set the standard for quality online certification since 2015 and matriculated thousands of yoga teachers. Brett's award-winning YouTube channel with over 500,000 subscribers and Uplifted Yoga podcast empower you to actively design your life using yoga's ancient wisdom. Yoga enthusiasts love her courses on Kundalini yoga, prenatal yoga, and the Uplifted Yoga Academy. So without further ado, here is Brett. Brett, thank you so much for being here.
So excited to connect with you.
I am really excited. We connected over our mutual literary agent, and your book is Yoga Life, Habits, Poses, and Breathwork to Channel Joy Amidst the Chaos. My audience, they know if they've been listening to me for any length of time that I've had a bit of a push-pull relationship with yoga. It's a back and forth. But I love your work because, let's start here. You have a different definition of yoga that really doesn't, you know, have anything to do with which poses to do and which breath work to do or which philosophy. So what is your definition of yoga?
For me, yoga is, first of all, the science of energy management, but the definition I give is yoga is your awareness of self. So if you're into personal development, you know that self-awareness is the superpower that you want to cultivate, and yoga gifts you more self-awareness. So from my definition, if you're rocking like a rainbow-shaped back bend, maybe even with another lady on top of you and doing some very acrobatic things, but you're not focusing on your breath and you don't have an awareness of why you're doing what you're doing and how it's affecting you, I would say you're doing gymnastics. You're not doing yoga. Yoga is about awareness.
You're doing a literal back bend and that's it.
Yeah.
I've actually never heard it described like that.
It's interesting because if you even look at the Yoga Sutras or a lot of these ancient texts, yoga is about the quieting of the mind chatter and gaining awareness of your inner dialogue. The first sutra of the Yoga Sutras clearly, well, the first sutra says now the exposition of yoga, but then after that it says yoga is the quieting of the fluctuations of the mind. So it's interesting, and I talk about this in the book, because yoga got very distorted when it came to the West. We got very overly focused on the postures and the pretzel poses. And the true yoga, which is how do we quiet our mind? How do we get a bigger awareness of who we are? How do we harness our inner dialogue? That part fell away. And what's really interesting is that all of these poses and shapes that we put ourselves in, the yogis were only doing all of those things in order to sit and meditate and be able to watch their inner dialogue better. And this is very common sense. Like, my son's kindergarten teacher does the same thing. The kids come into school. She says, okay, everyone, we're going to do the wiggles. And she has them dance and they do a little thing. And then she has them sit to do some quiet schoolwork. So the yogis figured that out. They were like, you know, if we contort ourselves into all these positions, we're then able to sit for longer periods of time. And some of those positions were designed to enhance their ability to sit and watch their mind, because sitting up straight in a meditative seat, newsflash, is very hard to do.
Yeah, I don't
especially if you're used to slouching and slumping. So that's where the asana kind of came in. It's only, you know, a very small piece. If we were going to divide a circle into eight slices, I'd say it's 1/8 of what yoga actually is the physical pose part that we're very obsessed with here.
Interesting. Okay. And can you pause the very first thing that you said? What did you say? It's the science of energy. Did I hear you right?
Yeah, the science of energy management. And this is another reason why I'm so passionate about yoga. So yoga, we all know that, I talked a little bit about the ladies in the back bend, right? If they don't have awareness, if they're not using their breath, so the breath is the key with all of this. And that's the number one takeaway if you're listening to this. Forget the poses if you don't have time. Focus on your breathing, because the breath is incredibly magical. I have one of those Nest thermostat things in my house, and when I turn it, I can make my house hotter or colder. And what's so cool about the breath is that we can use the breath to override our nervous system. So if my nervous system is in a state of extreme stress or even panic, if I hack my breathing, like I start breathing in on a 4 count, let's say, and out on an 8 count, and doing really deep diaphragmatic breathing, I can actually override those stress signals happening in my body and tell my body, you know what? Actually, everything's A-okay. We can turn the thermostat down, the thermostat of my body house, right? From 90 degrees back down to a nice cool 72. Same thing, say I'm feeling sluggish and lethargic. A lot of my audience also struggles with that. You know, they want more energy. That's a big keyword on YouTube, yoga for energy. They could do a particular breath work, like breath of fire, for example, which is a short, rapid breath where I'm exhaling out the nose just for 30 seconds or so even. And that is going to give me a huge boost of energy. So when we look at our culture, we see that we have a huge energy management problem. The number one, or one of the number one over-the-counter pharmaceuticals sold, is sleeping aids. And then we see the Starbucks addiction on every corner. We have trouble winding down at the end of the day. We have trouble waking up. And again, millennia ago, yogis figured all this out. They didn't need sleeping aids or caffeine. They knew how to hack their breath to influence how they wanted to feel. And again, if you're into self-development, like, this is the best news ever, because you don't need to be flexible. You don't need to touch your toes. If you want to do some of the yoga asana, I'm all for it. And the book can walk you through how to do that. But more importantly, you can just change your mood and how you feel by learning a couple core breathing techniques.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Which is a perfect segue around habits. And I want to ask you about that. And you talk about sort of like, quote unquote, yoga habits that people can create in their lives without actually even getting on the mat. So can you talk about your favorites and the ones that you might teach beginners, especially? So FYI, my audience tends to struggle with anxiety. So when you were saying that, you know, the nervous system kind of a little bit not well, I was like, oh, that's probably all of us.
Myself as well. I mean, I got into yoga originally because I struggled with anxiety, and I developed all these habits because I went through this insane year in my life where I became a new mom. So I gave birth to my first son, and my father died that same year, but I was his sole care provider and he was in hospice in my home. So I had my little newborn in one bedroom in my house and my father on hospice in the other bedroom in my house, right next to each other. And then my business was exploding in growth, obviously, that same year. And I just felt so much pressure. It was like I couldn't practice the yoga that had been supporting me up to that point. I couldn't even do the short 40, 30 minute routines I was putting on YouTube for other people to practice. And I felt like a total fraud because here I was saying, practice every day, you know, make it a reality, be consistent. Mm-hmm. And I was failing. I didn't have time in my new normal to practice sometimes for even 10, 15 minutes. And so that's when I really started honing in on the habits. Some practical ones we can share with listeners here. One of the easiest ones is to just do long, slow, deep breathing before bed. So you lie down, you're in bed, put your smartphone away. It often can help to put like a book, like maybe one of your books, on the person's belly. Or with my kids, I use stuffed animals, or you can just put your hand, but put your hand on your belly. And then as you inhale, think of your belly button moving up to the ceiling. So your belly puffs out as you breathe in and moves down towards your bed as you breathe out. Now, this is going to super duper relax you. So that's great news. But it's also going to help retrain your diaphragm to breathe in a more efficient pattern. Because most women I meet are stuck. They're what I call reciprocal inhibited breathers, which means they're breathing in a short, shallow stress response up in their chest. This starts really young. We're told women need to be thin. So I don't know about you, but I started sucking it in, right? Every time I saw my reflection in the mirror or past a store window. But the reality is, you know, then your body supports that kind of shorter, shallow, belly sucked in breath. And that kind of breath actually is signaling, transmitting stress to your nervous system. It's transmitting stress and anxiety. And then the fascia in your body builds to support that kind of breathing. Like, oh, okay, you only want your diaphragm to move like in 20% of its full range of motion. No problem. And then literally your insides kind of reconfigure to support that kind of breath. I know back in the day, women wore corsets, right? To achieve thin waist. And what they were passing out. Do we remember that part? Mm-hmm. Then they needed smelling salt. It's because their diaphragms were in a literal bind. Yeah. So not to go tangential here, but just working on inhale, my belly button moves forward, which feels really awkward. When I teach this to women, a lot of times, the first time they're like, this feels weird. Yeah. But that's actually the anatomically efficient way to breathe. You can also think about this when you walk around just during the day. So we talked about lying down in bed. When I'm walking, I love to go for walks. Probably a lot of people are listening to this, maybe walking right now. Just ask yourself, am I breathing fast or slow? is my breath in my belly or my chest? And then just think each time you inhale, as you listen to my voice right now, think of the energy in your body moving down and your belly puffing out. It might feel weird, but the goal is to just slow down your breath. And again, notice how you're breathing. And then, of course, I love practicing pranayama. There's six that I introduce in the book. Pranayama means breath work. So it's kind of more specific breathing techniques where you're breathing in through just one nostril or just through the nose or just through the mouth or in different counts. It's almost like there's this whole musical score of that you can do just with your breath. I love to do that when I pull into my garage. Why? The garage is the space for me where I'm between worlds. I'm done doing whatever errand I was doing. And I know when I go into my house, inevitably, there's going to be stuff to do. Kids are going to want my attention.
Maybe a little bit of chaos,
right?
Yeah.
There's going to be chaos, right? So I take a couple moments just in my garage. I put my hand on my heart, my hand on my belly. That's another great habit everyone can do. Get your hands on your body because most of us are very disembodied. Our thoughts are running a million miles an hour. That's going to help you focus on your breath, but it's also just going to soothe the nervous system. Touch is incredibly soothing for the nervous system. So just putting your hands, placing your hands on your own heart and belly, ask, how do I feel? What do I want? Slowing down your breath. And of course, if you wanted to learn some specific breathing techniques, you could do one that really is well suited for your personality. So in the book, I have little quizzes that help you figure out, you know, what poses and what breathing techniques are especially well suited for you. If you only have a little time to practice, you want to practice the one that's most efficient and optimal for you. So there's just a couple examples. I mean, as I wait for my tea to boil, that is a time where that I press into the counter, I stretch my back, I just do some long, slow, deep breaths. I love hot baths. I used to run a hot bath and then try to clean my downstairs all while hoping my second floor didn't flood. That wasn't relaxing. So I stopped doing
like
that.
While the water was running?
Yes, while the water was running. I don't do that anymore. Now I stay in the bathroom. I listen to the water and I breathe and I just stash a little yoga mat in my bathroom. A big reframe here is that yoga is not a thing you do. It's not an additional thing to check off your never-ending to-do list. Your whole life is a yoga studio and that the little things really do add up. I find my own students, they give me a lot of resistance to these habits because they think they don't matter. They don't think that these little things add up. But the way I reframe that, I'd invite everyone here to think about it, is if we opened a savings account, if you opened a savings account, you just put like a couple dollars in there each day, you would trust that over time that money would be there and it would grow and that there'd be a compound interest effect that would help it grow. It's the same with your nervous system health. Every effort to slow down your breath is worthwhile. It's like putting dollars and cents in that nervous system bank. Every effort to calm your body, to get your hands on your body, to tune inward, all of that is money in the bank, even if it's just here and there between other activities. So the little things really do add up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to ask you to be a little bit more specific about the belly breathing, because that's something that I have struggled with for forever. So we'll be right back. Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in-line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/noise, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/noise to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/noise. Sometimes you need your paycheck before it's actually payday, am I right? Well, what if I told you that can happen with Earnin? Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. You can use Earnin for anything you need to, therapy visits, vet bills, or even extra self-help books. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like,
When I think about EarnIn, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind. Download EarnIn today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in noise under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Noise under podcast. Subject to your availability, earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
All right, the belly breathing. And I love that you said, you just acknowledged that many women, this is tough for us for various reasons. I also found that over the pandemic, wearing masks made me get into the habit of shallow breathing. Even more so. And when I've gone to any kind of breathwork class or yoga class and they talk about belly breathing, I'm always like, how do I do this? And I've been told like, you're doing it wrong. And like, when you were explaining that, I thought like, oh, is it helpful to actually push your belly out in order to sort of practice like what your body is doing? Does my question make sense?
Yes, it's going to feel artificial at first. And I think a nice thing to clarify for everyone listening too is that you can't breathe into your belly. That's not a thing, right?
So, for a while, I thought it was literal. And yeah. I'm like, that's just gas.
right. So I like to call it full, complete breathing. And what's actually happening here, so I think it is worthwhile to break down the anatomy. Your diaphragm is this superhero muscle that everyone forgets about, right? We get obsessed with we want our abs to look good and our biceps and our triceps and have toned arms and all this stuff. The superhero muscle that's keeping you alive is your diaphragm. The problem is it's just buried so deep within you that people can't see it. So people don't focus on it. So they think it doesn't really matter. But the reality is if the diaphragm stops working, you're dead, friend.
Isn't it a strip of muscle? Like I'm going way back to my anatomy class. It's a strip of muscle that is sort of like right underneath your lungs, right? It almost kind of like sits right underneath your lungs.
Yeah. So I like to visualize it or explain it to people as like a jellyfish. So visualize like a little jellyfish snuggled up under your rib cage. Mm-hmm. And then as you breathe in, the jellyfish plummets downward. Right. So it opens up and moves down in order to allow air into your lungs. Mm-hmm. As the diaphragm moves down, so the diaphragm moves down on an inhale. That's usually really confusing to people because they think, oh, well, my lungs are filling up with air, or they feel an upward sensation as the lungs fill with air. But really, the diaphragm, that muscle moves down when you breathe in. That's why I said energetically think of energy moving down when you breathe in. If you have anxiety, you want to do that all the time because it's the most grounding thing to think about. So when your diaphragm moves down, as you inhale, air is coming into your lungs. It kind of squishes your belly a little bit. It kind of the jellyfish kind of goes down onto a trampoline, right? And so that's what causes the belly or your navel to move out slightly. And then when you exhale, you pull your navel back to your spine and the diaphragm, like a jellyfish, snuggles back up under your lungs. Now, when we look at ancient art, like Vedic art of people who were enlightened, they were usually painted blue because they were said to be transparent. So they looked the same color as the sky. But you'll often see they're depicted kind of with a belly, like a little mark that they're like their belly's like overhanging their pants. Mm-hmm. Or we know Siddhartha from Buddhism, the warrior who then became enlightened, Buddha. We often see Buddha, depictions of Buddha with a huge belly. In ancient art, that belly was a symbol of someone who was enlightened. It was a sign that someone was an expert meditator, that they were enlightened because like the belly popped out was like saying, you have a really powerful diaphragm. This person's extremely spiritual and enlightened.
Genetically, I've always had a little poochy belly. So I'm going to take that as a good sign.
Yes. Guys, Buddha was not binging on candy corn or whatever, right? Like he knew how to so powerfully control his diaphragm that it had that effect of the diaphragm squishing the belly so it puffed out. So that's clearing up some of the anatomy together. I think you want to have patience with yourself because if you've been a reciprocal inhibited breather, like many women, right, we're wearing Spanx. And again, I'm going to put on Spanx for a cocktail party here and there. But in your day-to-day life, right, the more that you can think of relaxing your belly, relaxing your gut. I mean, how many women have digestive issues and IBS and all these things? It's like the more we can relax this area and relax the nervous system, the better all the bodily functions are going to be, from hormone health to digestion, all of those things. So that it's going to take time, I guess, is my point. If you've been breathing in this reciprocal inhibited breath response, thinking like inhale, suck the belly in. That's what most women do. They inhale, suck the belly in, and just think about air coming into their chest. it's going to be a process of 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years of retraining this. But the great news is the more that you can just bring awareness to it, again, just placing your hand on your belly throughout the day a couple times, it's going to add up. That is going to, in the long haul, it's going to be a slow progression, but your body's going to remember more and more what it feels like to breathe in a way that your body was actually designed to breathe, where you're getting the most oxygen for CO2. And this is one more thing I want to say about this. When you, and this has been proven, it's so incredibly cool. When you draw your awareness to your breath, so if you just say, let's notice how we're breathing. Just notice, is the air coming in cold or warm? Are you breathing in through your nose or mouth? Do you feel the breath more in your belly or your chest? Just asking some of these simple observation questions without any effort to change the breath, that soothes your nervous system and decreases anxiety. So just the act of pausing to observe your breath, even if you don't change it, has incredible nervous system benefits. I don't really know of anything else in life that works this way. Like when I think about the pile of laundry in my laundry room, it doesn't automatically fold. Right. When I think about the emails I have to write, they don't automatically compose themselves. But if you just think about your breathing, it actually soothes your nervous system. It actually slows your heart rate and has all these other incredible benefits. So
Amazing. Thank you. Okay. So kind of indirectly related, and this is something I've always been fascinated with, and I know you talk about it in the book. What is the chakra system?
The chakras. Mm-hmm. Yes. So the chakra system is, well, chakra translates to mean wheel or disc or vortex. And according to yoga, we have 7 major energy centers that run from the base of our spine to the crown of our head. And what's really cool from a personal development perspective is the way I like to think of it is like each of these energy centers govern a different program within us. So if you think of your iPhone has all these different programs, like your calendar app and your email app, you know, your heart chakra is kind of running your love program. Like how do you interact with other people in relationship? Do you get attached really easily? Are you avoidant, right? Mm-hmm. And first chakra, which is at the very bottom, right? That's dealing with our safety or security. So a lot of times I like to talk about the chakra system as similar to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So the first chakra is very much concerned with, am I safe, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't feel safe. You might have money in the bank and a big house and everything's fine, but internally you're running a scarcity program, right? So that would mean that you are off kilter in that first chakra. And then the chakras move up from there. I mean, we can go over every single one if you want to, but this is a beautiful area of study because if you love personal development work, it's like kind of understanding these different programs that run different aspects of your life. Like obviously the throat chakras governing my communication. So I could be deficient in my throat chakra, meaning I don't speak up very much. Maybe I'm hunched over. And that's what's cool about the chakras too, is because I love the definition of vortex for that Sanskrit word, because if I know I'm deficient in this, in a certain energy center, I can actually choose yoga poses and yoga asana to help balance that energy, right? Mm-hmm. So for example, if someone was deficient in the throat chakra, I'd suggest potentially bridge pose or, you know, doing some chanting work or things like that. So there's a lot of ways into each chakra. Of course, each chakra has a color too. So that's really fun. And they each have a symbol with them. Say you wanted to work on the throat, you could not just work on it physically, but you could work on it visually, right? Visualizing the color or visualizing the symbol. So it's just a great access point where kind of mind, body, spirit connect.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I love that. So I've subscribe to several different yoga programs. I don't know if I've ever done yoga just like on my own. I've always done a class, whether it's online or in person. I subscribed to actually some really great apps for a while and liked it fine, but didn't see any real changes in the way that I felt, except that I felt more flexible and like it was just, you know, really great for stretching purposes. So what is your advice around, you know, what is the benefit, I guess, of designing your own kind of custom yoga practice rather than following along with a teacher or some kind of program?
Right. Well, this is a huge passion of mine. Basically, the yoga we've been fed, I think I talked a little bit earlier in the episode about how yoga kind of got distorted or there were some pieces missing when it came over to the West. And when yoga came West, it got enmeshed with the group fitness movement that was happening in the 70s and 80s, aka kind of the Jane Fonda era. But if we go back and we look at yoga's original origins, which I do in the book, and I have photos and footnotes to back all of this up, no one was ever meant to be doing the same pose at the same time on the same breath cadence in the same way. The way these traditional yoga studios worked is that everyone would show up and there'd be a teacher, but we'd all be practicing slightly different things. We'd learn, the teacher would say like, okay, do this, you know, do pose A, B, C, and D. Mm-hmm. And someone else in the room might be doing pose A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, J, K, you know, like a lot more. And then we all come together and in silence, we're practicing what the teacher had given us. And then the teacher would walk around the room and help and adjust each person as they needed it. And then the teacher would say, you know what? I think you're ready to move on and learn a little bit more. And the teacher would teach new poses to each individual as they were ready. So it was practicing in a group, but everyone's like completely doing their own thing. And the teacher's just going around and helping individuals progress or refine as needed. And so when yoga came west and then through the process of most things, when they need to be mass transmitted, they kind of get diluted and simplified. I mean, that just happens, obviously. But what's so interesting is when I really understood all this, it felt so empowering to me because I said, you know what? All these poses that don't feel good in my body or that aren't anatomically beneficial for me or don't feel good for me after two pregnancies, like I can just break up with them. I don't need to do these anymore. And the personalized practice, and this is a fun little anecdote because I already shared about that year, that rock bottom year for me that was so challenging. The way I'd practiced during that year is because I didn't have time to go to a group class or even do my own videos, I would just set a timer for 10 minutes or 15 minutes on my phone. And I would just, you know, I had enough yoga knowledge that I was like, I'm just going to do what feels soothing and nourishing to me, like right now before this timer goes off. And I'll remember that one day I had done this. And in doing that, I'm just going to say, I was breaking a lot of the yoga rules I had been taught about like, oh, you can't sequence this before that, or you can't intermesh these two yoga styles. Like I just threw everything out the window and I was like, until the timer goes off, I'm just going to practice what's super nourishing to me so that I can try to get through the rest of this day. Mm-hmm. One day I remember I did this practice. I felt incredible, like that yoga glow, that best feeling, you know, that I'd only really felt after long group classes or longer practices. And my timer hadn't gone off yet. And my first thought was like, oh crap, my phone died, right? Mm-hmm. But I ran and I looked and, you know, I think I had set the timer for 18 minutes. And in 15 minutes, I had practiced poses and breath work that were so nourishing to me specifically, what I call the soulmate poses, the ones that usher you into your deepest breath and a flow state the fastest and most efficiently, that I was able to get like yoga high in 15 minutes, the same way I would have in a 90-minute group class. And so that's when I got really interested. And I didn't have time to write the book in that moment, obviously, but that's when I was like, there's something here. And that's what the framework in the book is designed to teach you. Because I really wholeheartedly believe, because I've experienced it now in my own body hundreds of times, that if you just pick, I'm talking 6 to 8 postures and a breathing technique that's really specifically matched to soothe your personality. There's 3 personality types according to yoga sister science, Ayurveda. So we have a quiz at that in the beginning of the book, so you figure out. But if you are able to really personalize your practice and just do those soulmate postures, again, it's kind of like the nervous system bang for your buck that we talked about with the bank account. Instead of it being like a couple dollar deposit, it's like $100 deposit, right? Mm-hmm. Because the personalized practice is the more potent practice. The problem is no one's teaching yoga this way, right? Everyone's branding their own method or style, which makes sense. But what I'm inviting, because there's a million books written about that already, is, you know, let's tune inward together and figure out what poses and breathwork techniques really light you up inside, really are soothing to you. Because that's the other reframe here. Your yoga practice is here to nourish you. And if you make it so nourishing, you're never going to want to skip it. This isn't an exercise class where you're trying to shoehorn yourself into different positions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I love that. I want to tag on to that in just a second. We're going to take an ad break. We'll be right back.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. While you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Okay, before the break, you were talking about this. I love that I've never heard the term yoga high, that you know, were able to do it in 15 minutes. I understand that comes with all of your experience that you had before that, and you were able to do that. But it sounds like you just intuitively did what you felt your body and your mind and your soul needed in that moment. Is that fair?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
And I've done that with dance. Someone I posted on Instagram a few weeks ago, I don't even remember what the context was, but someone asked me, what kind of dance do you do? Because I was saying that's what I want to do more in 2024. And I said, I just put on whatever I feel like listening to in terms of music and then just like let my body do whatever it is. Sometimes it's slow. Most of the time it's fast because, you know, my nervous system needs to release in that way. But just, I find it so much more helpful if I just intuitively give my body what it needs instead of going with some kind of, you know, thing I have planned out ahead of time.
Exactly. And so that's kind of, this is the yoga version of this, right? Mm-hmm. Because my goal is that every woman has a ritual, just a small, again, we design a 20-minute ritual in the book. And it has all the key components, the breath work, that's the first component, you know, the movement, which gets you into a flow state, the stretching, you know, some strengthening, like all the things we need, right? And a little bit of meditation. But then after that, I'm like, okay, let's deconstruct and blow up this whole thing. Because some days, like, you're not going to have 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. So here's how, if you are about to get on a plane and you have anxiety and you slept late, how you'd make it a 5-minute thing.
Yeah.
Or if you have to give a big talk at work later in the day and you're feeling really lethargic and crappy, here's how you'd make it a 15-minute thing, but with an energizing flavor. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a weird analogy, but I always think of like someone behind a bar with all the bottles behind them, or like an apothecarian, right? And what I want to teach people how to do is how to whip up a yoga tonic, right? A yoga infusion that's like healing for you and the moment, the day that you're facing, right? Because even if we design your personal ritual, that's great, but you're going to have different needs on different days. Some days you feel energized, some days you don't. And knowing how to just swap out an ingredient or swap out a breathwork or swap out a pose. I mean, I'd love it if everyone became a full-on yoga teacher, but you don't need to do 200 hours of training with me to learn just a couple core principles to whip up your own yoga couture, essentially, or your own yoga infusion. There's just a few key skills. And if people are overwhelmed, as I said, like the book has quizzes. As a kid, I loved those like Cosmo quizzes. I do them at camp about, mm-hmm. you know, the boys, you know, like the 17 magazine ones. So the quizzes are like that. Like they're really fun and they're very simple. So that if, you know, you come to an end of a chapter and you're just like, you know, I'm not totally sure which of these poses, and I really narrow it down. Is my soulmate pose or the best suited? You can just take the quiz. So it's very similar to what you said. The reframe here is you're going inward first. You're going, what do I need? I mean, it's so crazy too, because when we look at yoga, the traditional yoga, especially Ashtanga yoga, like it was designed for men, specifically young boys. And what we know about the male body and male hormones is that they're more consistent. It's more equated to the sun energy. A woman's body is like the moon. Our hormones are changing every single day of the month. So the idea that the same, you know, like the exact same yoga routine would fit or make sense for us every single day is absurd. It's mm-hmm. absolutely crazy. We're not robots, right? We're humans, which means everything's in constant fluctuation. And this isn't a problem if you know how to personalize your practice. I call this the skill of yogic adaptability. I just find that no one's teaching this skill, right? We're just trying to teach people poses and sequences in kind of like a follow along manner or methodology, which again has value. Mm-hmm. But I think there's something deeper and more profound that is easier to stay consistent with too, because mm-hmm. you know how to adapt it.
Well, one of the things I love about that philosophy and methodology so much is that the byproduct of that, inevitably, I assume, is that it teaches you to listen to your body more. And I think that's something that is sort of taught out of us at such a young age, you know, just cultural and social conditioning to put everybody else's needs before our own and their comfort before our own, I think is the main path that makes us not trust ourselves and our own instincts. And, you know, we don't want to hurt people's feelings, so we don't say no to certain people and things like that. And so I love this so much because it, you know, it can be, I talk a lot about learning to trust yourself. And because I think so many of us, so many people listening have self-abandoned, myself included, over and for decades. So to learn how to trust yourself is a process. It seems to me that this is an excellent avenue to do so. And also doesn't involve other people.
You know what I mean? Yes. Yeah. I mean, the mat for me, the yoga mat's a microcosm for life, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm able to tune inward and ask myself, how do I feel? What do I want? Which is one of the core questions I work with in the book. Like, how do I feel? What do I want? What would feel nourishing? And then I kind of am able to self-soothe and bring myself back into balance that way. That's very empowering. And it's probably going to help me when I'm in my next stressful situation and someone's saying, hey, Brett, can you do blah, blah, blah? Like, instead of responding from a reactive pattern or a habitual pattern or my negative dialogue that's like, oh, I need to make them happy. I need to people please, whatever it is. I could kind of like, it's like training wheels for coming back and doing that, right? Wait. Let's breathe. Awesome. How do I feel? What do I want? I mean, I find more and more with decisions, like if I'm able to tune into my body, like I'm getting extremely clear signals about whether I want to do something or not. The question is, do I honor it? Do I listen and do I honor it? And so if someone's finding that challenging to do out in life, the mat is where you can practice this mm-hmm. in a very safe way with yourself that feels very intimate, that feels very nourishing. That's the way I like to practice yoga.
Yeah. Okay. That's beautiful. Thank you. We need to close up, but is there anything that you want to circle back to and either underscore or add on in order for you to feel complete?
I would just love to say that if you tune into your breath and notice how you're breathing today and maybe slow your breathing down and have an awareness of your inner dialogue at any point, you are a yoga success story. You're already a yogi. You're already practicing yoga. So I just want to celebrate anyone listening if they're doing that already or willing to try.
Awesome. Yes, the book is Yoga Life, Habits, Poses, and Breathwork to Channel Joy Amidst the Chaos. And so we'll have, of course, that link in the show notes. But where else do you want people to go to find more about you and to follow your work?
Well, I'm on YouTube, Brett Larkin Yoga. I have about 500,000 subscribers there. So you can find lots of free classes. And I always say you can mute me and then do your own thing or practice your own routine from the book. Sometimes it's just helpful to hear a video to get started. Mm-hmm. And my website, brettlarkin.com, has all my courses and trainings.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You are such a wealth of information. And I love how you break it down into, you don't use a lot of jargon, I think, from that industry, which can be intimidating for many. So I appreciate how you've kind of met us where we're at. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Love this conversation.
Yay. Listeners, thank you so much for being here. You know how grateful I am for your time. It is incredibly precious. And I thank you for making time for me and my guests. And remember, it's our life's journey to make ourselves better humans and our life's responsibility to make the world a better place. Bye for now. Hey, listeners, if you work for a company that does professional development, did you know that I offer leadership training, more specifically, empathy and assertiveness and how it makes stronger teams? You can see more on my speaking page at andreaowen.com/speaking, where there's also a contact button there so you can fill out that form and let's chat.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. with sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends. At Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.